Hey, friend.
Hey, girl. Hey.
We're back.
We are back at it. I hope you all are enjoying this bi-weekly drop of episodes.
I certainly am.
Yeah, we feel good about it because we're able to interact with you more in what feels like real time.
Right, and more consistently. Here we are in kind of late fall. What are you doing to keep yourself well or taking from the summer to stay grounded as we move into this new season?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to have to include my relationship with work, which is ever changing, ongoing, always trying to implement those healthy boundaries, back into regular therapy, for example. The cooler months can be hard for me because
me too.
I am from a warm climate. I think we all kind of deal with the gloomies around this time of year, shorter days, for example. And so, I'm also really dedicated to staying active. I've really been enjoying my relationship with my trainer. His name is Todd over at Future. He happens to be very handsome, too. I mean, he's big fine. Not my type. He's also married with kids, but... and a man. But there's something about your trainer being very handsome or very beautiful that I feel like makes the process kind of a little bit easier. At least
I agree. I mean, I don't have a trainer, but I want a trainer. And if I got a trainer, he would be...
For you, I know he'd probably be Latin and he would give very like Enrique Iglesias. He'd give very...
Girl, how did you know I went to the Enrique Iglesias show? That was my first concert, and I went to the one in Boston on October 21st.
Margo, I know your type. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're right. Okay. What am I going to do?
Yes, what are you doing to just kind of settle into this time of year?
More drugs.
Oh, that's good.
No.
I'm so happy for you.
I think one of the things that I'm starting to do, and I started implementing this in the summer, was I know this sounds funny, but I have this list that I created and I'm adding to it of things that bring me joy that I can go to when I'm feeling in a sunken place.
Oh, I love this.
Right. And so I know, for example, I know, for example, that Sundays sometimes are hard for me. I get very anxious about the week. The winter can be hard for me. As I've gotten older, I'm like have a harder time with the cold, and it's very cold here.
Yeah.
And the dark.
Yeah.
And so there are things on my list that I'm just going to go to when I'm feeling a little, you know, not my best.
I want to recommend that to everybody right now. Pause this episode, go to the notes on your phone, take out a pen and a piece of paper, whatever you want to do, and just quickly jot down a list of at least 10 things that bring you joy.
Right, and it can be something as small as getting a croissant,
mm-hmm.
or going for like a walk around the block, or I don't know. I mean, the things that are on my list, some are big, some are small.
The lower barrier, the better, mm-hmm. because I think it means that we can just kind of pull from the list and go.
And one thing that I learned through my recent surgery, I mean, I've learned through all of my surgeries, but particularly for my most recent one that I had in the beginning of October, was planning in advance. So I planned all these walks to have with friends and family and loved ones before I had my surgery,
mm-hmm.
right? So I could look at my calendar right as after surgery, when I was in the hospital, knowing that I was going to see all of these loved ones at a specific time, that can translate into all of your life.
Yes. And shout out to Julie from Season for Squeezing.
She gave me this idea.
Yeah. And if you haven't listened to that episode, please do. It's called Moving Through a Breast Cancer Diagnosis.
And asking for what you want. And for me, one of the things, as you know, planning for travel, for joy, brings me a lot of joy. And what brings me joy? People I love and seeing them. And so knowing that I was going to see them brought me a lot of joy. I'm going to bring that into my winter months as well, when I'm feeling like there's nothing going on or I feel lonely or dark. Yeah. Knowing that I'm going to see people, have activities, do things outside of my home or in my home.
Oh, I'm going to do the same. This is great, great advice.
Thanks, Julie. Okay. Dumb shit people say this episode. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to do it. Lauren Boebert, Congresswoman from Colorado. Whether it was the excitement of seeing a much anticipated production or the natural anxiety of being in a new environment, I genuinely did not recall vaping that evening, when I discussed the night's events with my campaign team while confirming my enthusiasm for the musical, Boebert wrote in a statement sent to Insider's Hannah Gatahan. Boebert continued, regardless of my belief, it's clear now that that was not accurate. It was not my or my campaign's intention to mislead, but we do understand the nature of how this looks. We know we will have to work to earn your trust back, and it may not happen overnight, but we will do it.
Okay, fill the people in, and I am the people. What happened?
Okay, so Lauren Boebert, congresswoman from Colorado, was vaping at a production of Beetlejuice. She was on a date. She's recently divorced. And apparently, there were people in the audience, and she was being very disruptive.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what that means, like talking loudly, who knows. But specific to the vaping, first of all, she was inside in a musical. You're not supposed to vape. But there was a pregnant person sitting next to her, sitting in front of her, I don't really know, who asked her, apparently, to stop vaping because they're pregnant. And Lauren Boebert didn't do it.
Okay. Can we situate who Lauren Boebert is, okay? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have had a quote or an action, a dumb shit people do say by this person before. Congresswoman, as Margot mentioned, from Colorado. Is she part of the MAGA contingent?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very pro-gun rights, pro a marriage is between a man and a woman. She was a teenage mom. She's very pro-life. She's a 36-year-old grandmother. She's very proud of that. She also allegedly, at some point, people were trying to argue that she was part of QAnon. She deflected that.
Okay.
But so she doesn't identify as part of QAnon, but she definitely has partaken in some of the conspiracy theories.
Okay. For folks who don't know, QAnon is this kind of conspiracy conglomerate that came to prominency around the time of Trump's candidacy and his time in office.
Mm-hmm.
What I find so interesting, I don't know how this broke the news. Do you know, like, was someone there and kind of alerted the news, or?
I mean, I think maybe because she has spent a lot of her career, her elected career so far, policing other people's actions and bodies.
Yeah.
Maybe people were sick of the hypocrisy.
They weren't with the shits anymore. And so what? What I find so interesting.
They weren't with the shits anymore.
Yeah, they were done with it. What I find so interesting, and this is where the right's rhetoric falls apart, right? And it gives Margaret Atwood the Handmaid's Tale.
Mm.
That the people who are supposed to be kind of the bastions for morality behave in ways that are amoral. Because the tenets that they espouse and they uphold are virtually impossible for a human being to be in alignment with all the time. That is a problem with fundamentalism in any way.
Yeah, in general.
In general. Because no one is perfect.
Right, and the idea that opining on someone's morality is within your own jurisdiction to do. What?
Right, it's like the ego of it all, the narcissism of it all, the myopia of it all, that the way I behave and people who think like me, it's the only right way to show up as a human being in the world. Now, arguably, someone may say that about the left and progressives as well. I happen to think that we are a lot more open-minded to people's individuality and their behaviors. Because when I read this, I was like, bitch, go off, you wasted. Have a good time. Good, I mean, don't vape in public or in a closed environment, especially not around pregnant people. But you having a good time down at the Beetlejuice, girl. I'm at the institution.
It's like Susan Collins showing up in her bikini.
With the bikini on. Imagine if they were at Beetlejuice.
Together, one in a bikini, one vaping.
This is my idea of a good time, and I don't know why it hasn't happened.
Okay, so here's the thing about this that I find hilarious and comforting. Right? That I think one of the problems with the proliferation of media as we consume it now is this idea that some people have that there are certain people who live correctly
mm-hmm.
and there are certain people who don't. And that can go for lifestyle, wellness, you know, social activism, working, parenting, sleeping, right? There's all of these aspirations we have about how we're going to most best live in the world.
Yeah.
And everyone's vaping. Everyone needs a little help sometimes to have fun. Not always, But like a social lubricant didn't hurt anyone.
Yeah, we all have our thing. And I think the fact that she cannot, again, live by her own, the values that she at least proclaims to have in public, I think the query is, what is wrong with said values?
Wait, I just remembered something. I think this was the same incident where she was caught with her date's penis in her hands.
Well, of course.
So I think she's learning how to date again.
This was a wild night. This was a wild night, bruh.
Grandma,
glamma. Go off. So you're drunk, you're buzzed because you're vaping, and you're giving your date a hand job in public.
Are we 15?
I mean, I've done just some combination of those things around 30. And it also was a good time. So I understand why she just couldn't control herself. I just find it ironic who she is and the fact that it was being done in public.
And doing it with total disrespect for everyone around her.
Can we just have I want to talk about slut shaming here as well, because I don't know this to be true about her, but there's also this contingent of people who are similarly situated to her, who have a lot to say about women's morality and how they show up in the world and how they shepherd their sensuality and their sexuality. And I've always believed, Margot, that it is the people who proclaim to be the most conservative who are the freaks in the bed. Like, I think what she told us is that she's actually pretty sex positive. And that day she just couldn't hide it. She was like, all bets are off, bitch. Like, hand me the dick. I need it right.
Lauren.
She was like, I need it right now.
Congresswoman.
She was like,
ma'am.
She was like, listen, we are not passing go. We are not collecting $200. I need it right now at the Beetlejuice. The Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
You know, Beetlejuice is the guy with the scissors, right?
Wow. Well, okay, well, listen.
Listen, we are not judging any, but I think what is interesting, and we bring this into the conversation about the humanity of everyone. We all make missteps. This was a misstep, right?
Yeah.
She was bothering people who she was in community with. That's unkind.
Yeah.
Right? Do whatever you want in your home. Yeah. Like,
I'm just saying, sis, if you want to come to the other side where your behavior will not be as judged, then we may have a seat for you at the room, you know, the room at the
table.
You
have to give up your guns.
Period.
You'd have to reclaim your respect for women's and people's bodies.
Body autonomy, that's a belief that we hold over here.
You have to stop being fucking racist.
I mean, that is actually very
homophobic.
Important. Too, also.
Misogynist.
And I mean, if you can try. Yeah. Right.
So.
Do some work.
And then come over.
And come over with a dick in your hand.
Don't come with that. But you can come with something else, like a snack or
a juice box.
Yeah, like a cocktail, a mocktail.
Some, sis, because right. You are on the wrong side of the aisle.
Right. So our sponsor today.
Yes.
A company that we are so grateful to partner with, who I think really upholds this model really well of wearing your clothes.
Wearing your pieces and also shopping for your pieces as you need and for them to be as versatile as possible. It is M.M. LaFleur. They have showrooms throughout the country. They are primarily online. So if there's no showroom in your city, that's fine. You can always find the pieces online. If there is a showroom near you, they have actual stylists, right, Margot?
Amazing.
That will help to fit you and to look like your best self imaginable.
So we're both wearing M.M. LaFleur right now. The way that the clothing is made, it's so high quality that it really fits your body well. And it can go from like work to evening to out, and it feels seamless.
Absolutely. And so I found out about M.M. LaFleur once I was outside of a traditional 9-to-5. So I've only had a relationship with this brand as a solopreneur, meaning we don't have any reason to wear traditional suits very much these days at all. But that hasn't stopped me from being able to rock their pieces, because if you can't see me right now, I am wearing a plaid suit with a pair of silver mules and a silver like bustier top, right? And so for me, I love suiting. It kind of speaks to this androgyny that I love. And the fact that you can wear those pieces, as Margo said, a myriad of ways, I think it's great.
And for me, I'm wearing a black pantsuit that's of a cotton stretchy fabric that really fits so well.
All the principles that we've spoken about today are elucidated in M.M. LaFleur's business model. They are a woman-owned business. We definitely recommend you all check them out.
Yeah, and also just kind of in terms of like for everybody, right? One of the things that's so incredible about M.M. LaFleur is it goes from a 00 to a size 20, and you can fit to your shape, right? So if you have the opportunity to go to a showroom, they can take your measurements and get the best size for you. But then there's also free alterations and free returns.
Great quality pieces that we love over here at Justice.
Justice 20 for our code. This episode I'm really excited to have with you because I really want to hear your thoughts. Fast fashion is a term, right, that has been thrown out a lot. I think maybe we all have different understandings of what that means, but definitely our experiences with fast fashion have changed dramatically over the last 10 years with the proliferation of social media.
So if you are a leaguer, then you may not know that I have a platform that has surrounded some element of fashion and style since 2011, right? Yes. So for a very long time. It's interesting, Margo, because at that time, none of these kind of platforms who I think are the loudest voices in the fast fashion space actually existed. I mean, fast fashion was around for sure.
Right. There was Forever 21. There was, you know, Urban Outfitters. Right. There were lots of fast fashion brands, but not so much easy consumption.
This level of online infiltration is absolutely unprecedented. And especially the way that some of these platforms are using AI and using algorithms and showing up every single place that you are on the internet, whether it is at work, on your browser, you see the ads, you see them on your phone, on Facebook, on social media. They are a well-oiled machine of putting poorly made goods in front of you at low cost.
Yes.
Low cost to you, high cost to the people who created them, and also to the environment.
To the world. So what is cost, right? Low money cost to you as a consumer, low production cost to the company creating, high cost to the population and people impacted by the production and the world.
Exactly. And that is really, I think, probably the best way to describe fast fashion. And I do think there are different tiers. And so we will definitely put down in the notes some of the resources around how to define fast fashion and also how to determine different companies' carbon footprints and their place and their role in the environment and environmental justice, because not every company who has a lower cost goods is the same. So I just want to be fair and say that. However, what we do know is that 50 years ago, and your mom is a perfect example of this, right? If a thread was kind of bare in a garment, if a button popped off, she just would sew it back on. Mm-hmm. My grandma would just kind of sew the hem. She would re-hem the skirt. She would sew things by hand. Most households had a sewing machine at some point.
Absolutely.
Today, we say, oh, I'm just going to get rid of this thing. It's trash now. When in fact, it's not. It's not garbage, but that's how we see these very low cost, poorly made goods. So there is this constant turnover in our wardrobes and in our lives.
So I'm wondering the two things. One, I think there's a conversation that a lot of viewers, listeners are going to have, or feedback for us, like, that's not fair to say that I shouldn't consume fast fashion. I can't afford.
Yeah.
I can't afford slow fashion. I don't know. What's the alternative?
Yeah, it is. It's slow fashion. Slow fashion.
And what we would say, and we'll have more to say about this later, is that there are lots of different ways to consume fashion slower.
Yes.
So there's, like, just off the bat, for cost conscious, for those of us who are cost conscious, right, there's consignment, there's thrifting. But there's also wearing our clothes.
It's just buying less.
Right. And so I think you told me something that I've been sitting on and also kind of know, but didn't know to the extent that some people, when they go on vacation, buy a whole new wardrobe.
I was just about to say this, Margot. Yes. So I'm preparing for a trip to Greece. And it definitely came top of mind that I know people in my life and my family. I have been one of these people before who will not go on a vacation, even if it's for a weekend, without scouring online fast fashion retailers and having a suitcase full of new clothes. And these are items that maybe they all don't even get worn on the trip, or they are only worn on the trip and never worn again. These are things that come in like plastic baggies, all of them. So talking about just the waste that exists there. And they are pieces that if you try to wash them, you would be lucky to get it out of the washing machine in decent condition to be able to wear again. So it really is kind of like a piece of paper, right? It is highly disposable fashion in a way that we have not seen as a human species any other time in the past as we see it today.
And so for those of us who haven't had this experience or don't know, is this something that's an expectation or something that it's a desire?
I mean, this is where social media enters the chat. To be honest with you, you know, I think there's something about the rise of the infiltration of social media in our daily lives and the rise of fast fashion that go hand in hand. Number one, because fast fashion retailers are adept at using influencers, so content creators, to create content to promote the items. Also, I'm on YouTube, and I can tell you right now, anything that includes a haul is going to rate very high on YouTube. People are going to the internet and they love to see consumption. I mean, I think that's what it just means to live in a consumptive society and in a world. Or even if you cannot consume, there's something about the serotonin in your brain, like the synapses that light up when you see someone else do an unboxing or do a haul. Hmm. So we are putting new goods, new in front of people all the time. But even if you are not a content creator and you're not doing it for that purpose to pander to an audience, everyday people feel like they can't wear things twice because they've taken a picture of it and they've put it online. And that to me is bananas.
Bonkers bananas. Wear your clothes, people. If you love your clothes, wear them.
That's where the geriatric millennial in us, I think, comes into play. Because we remember and we had lives without the internet, right? We were teenagers, really, when this all first started. So we already kind of had thoughts, obviously, and viewpoints on the world. We had our own style. We had independent thoughts.
Right.
When today, unfortunately, too many of our young people, they don't have that. They have their avatar online and that's all.
Yeah.
And their avatar to them is real life. And so me and my platform, and I think now Justice as well, saying wear your clothes, maybe the first time they've ever heard that, Margot, because all signs are pointing in the other direction.
So I think there's a interesting kind of critique of influencers and how they participate in the destruction of our environment, right? Because I get it.
Harsh, but true.
Right? Not all, but I think that there are certain brands that we know don't last.
Yes.
And if you're supporting them and promoting them, there's responsibility there.
There is. And so, but I want to get back to your point about affordability.
Yes,
because that's real. And if we were in a different kind of economic stratosphere, I've been in all of them almost, and I'm currently manifesting Oprah wealth. So I will be there at some point as well, right?
We will.
So I get, you know, they don't even have this anymore, but do you remember Payless?
Yeah.
I get just wanting to have a nice pair of shoes and not having a lot of money and going to Payless and spending my last $30 for a new pair of boots, right? Like, I understand that. And so what I try to teach people is it's not about divorcing yourself from it completely. It's about being able to shop consciously and with intention.
Absolutely. And can I just add something else into the chat? Because I think there's some like high, low, soft, loud luxury underpinnings to this conversation. And I just want to say the luxury brands are part of the problem too.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have new stuff every season. I don't know. There's like fashion. You know more than I do, but there's fashion week in the summer and the winter and the spring and Milan, yeah, and Paris and New York, right? There's a level of newness that these houses are creating, which also creates the newness that the fast fashion.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. So yes, to the degree that you're going to see new things coming down the runway at least twice a year, more if you consider like a resort or a couture collection.
Or swim or bags or...
Exactly. You know. But I read somewhere that some of these fast fashion brands, let's take like, for example, Zara versus a Shein, both considered fast fashion. Shein is outproducing even Zara at a record-breaking pace. That is how quickly they are creating new items that are selling.
Can I tell you something else about Shein that I didn't know that someone told me? So two things, which I think is also really important to enter the chat. One of the reasons that the critique of fast fashion isn't entirely fair is that there's not a lot of opportunities for fashion-forward looks for people who live in different bodies.
Yeah.
Right? So the Sheins, right, have really fashionable pieces for bigger bodies, tiny bodies, right, where maybe they couldn't buy off the rack.
Yeah. Fashion Nova,
right. And so I think that's a really important aspect to this. But someone told me something that, like, that Shein, if you buy something, I don't know if this is true, so let me know. If you buy something from Shein and it doesn't fit and you want to return it, they just tell you to throw it away.
Wow.
That they don't even ask you to return it.
Wow.
Because the restocking is more cost to the, like, they'll credit your credit card.
And it also probably costs them pennies. So it is.
I don't know if that's true, but that someone told me that.
If it is true, I could see that, because for them, it costs them more to have a person managing their return than it does the garment that they produce, because that really is pennies. I mean, it is.
But that's crazy. Like, what are we saying?
What I mean, and think about it, if my great grandmother, who was born in 1912, was alive, this would not make any sense to her. Like, it literally would not make any sense.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense to my friends, for example, who live in different countries.
Yeah.
So I have different friends. I have two very good friends who are from Israel. I have two friends who live in Spain who are Spanish. And their closets are so small.
This is true. I've seen it. Yep.
Compared to what an American woman's closet is. Yep. They have a few pairs of pants, a few shirts, a few skirts, maybe one fancy outfit, a few pairs of shoes. And maybe they get one new pair of shoes a year.
And look, I'm not making an argument for minimalism, because...
we know.
Truthfully, I could not. I'm one of those people that turned a bedroom into a closet. But what I will also say is that this is my job, right? Fashion is my job. And so I have more now that it is my job than I would have had when it was not my job. But I can also say I have much less than what I think very many fashion content creators have, because I do try to be very intentional about my messaging and also about my consumption. I have resources that I share with people about this. I talk about a capsule wardrobe often, like the one that you're talking about with your friends who live abroad. Because number one, I understand the harm that's being done to the environment, but also having more shit don't make you more stylish. And I think about myself now and how I've been able to streamline and refine my style. And it's nothing to do with the luxury items that I may or may not have now. It has to do with how I see myself and how I choose to adorn myself and how I define my style.
I love that. I feel the same way. I also, as you know, kind of have for quite some time now done a rental service.
Yeah.
Which has been incredible as my body has changed through pregnancy, postpartum, and through all my surgeries, to be able to kind of figure out what my new style, not my new style, but what's going to feel right in my body at the moment. And how can I do that without spending a tremendous amount of money and participating in environmental waste?
Exactly. Because those pieces are able to be shared. And there are so many different rental services that are out there. There are ones that are coming up every day that I've never heard of. And so if this is something that you're interested in, we recommend it. I have used the same rental service as you, for example, especially because when I am going to a fashion event or I'm hosting, for example, I know that it's quite likely that some of those pieces are not going to get a lot of wear. I call them stunt pieces, right? The thing where you just want to pop out and wear something kind of a little bit more flashy than your daily life. You don't have to always buy those things. And you know what else someone said recently? this woman named Anna, the Anna Edit, who I love. And she does a lot of kind of like...
Not Anna Delvey,
not to be confused. Very different, actually. A lot of kind of like modern homemaking, and just her, she just feels like a cup of warm tea to me. That's how she feels. Mm. But she talks...
I want someone to describe me like that.
That's how I truly see this woman. And we have nothing in common. But she does a lot of style stuff, and I don't dress like her at all. But I welcome the content because it has made me think about consumption. And one of the things that she does is she borrows pieces from her friends. They borrow clothes. And I was like, do you remember when
we did that
all the time?
I do that with some friends.
It's when she said it, a light bulb went off in my head because I realized how long it has been since I did that.
Yeah. One of my friends came over last night. My friend Nora came over last night. She's taking a trip in a couple weeks and she borrowed a jacket.
Why not?
Right, exactly. I'm not going to wear it. She's traveling with her husband to Paris. She wanted to borrow a jacket. I was like, go off.
Especially when it comes to formal wear. Like something that you wear as a bridesmaid or as a wedding guest.
Once my sister-in-law and I wanted a dress and we bought it together.
I love this.
And we've both worn it.
I love this.
I don't know if it would fit me now, but we did it for a couple of years. It was a fancy black dress that we both wanted.
And you just like shared it for special events. And let me tell you why I also think that people are much less likely to do that. This goes back to social media.
Because they don't want to be seen in the same outfit that someone...
Mm-hmm.
Guys, the jig is up. We all know. I mean, this is why, I feel very strongly about this. I think particularly because I have children growing up into this era. And I have friends who have teenage children who have been harmed by social media. But this idea of it not happening unless it's on social media and you have to create something new every time is not a reflection of a real life.
It is not. It is a curated experience. And I've tried to get a bit better on my channels, Margot, about this is what I wear in real life. Because there was a time when I was shooting once a month with a photographer. All of my like static carousel posts, so for folks who don't have Instagram, it's those picture posts that you kind of swipe and you can put up to 10 pictures, right? So I would shoot 3, 4, 5 looks sometimes with my photographer, and every single look I was wearing heels. And it's like, that ain't what I look like most days. Now, when I want to get fancy, when I'm going on a date, when I'm going to a special event, obviously, but you're not going to catch me walking around Pentagon City or Old Town Alexandria wearing a pair of 4-inch stilettos. It's just not true. Do I enjoy those pieces? Absolutely.
Same.
There is a time, there is a place. And I think we're also dressing for fantasy lifestyles, or we're consuming at the very least for fantasy lifestyles.
Which is fine. Like, we can have fantasy, but it's also, we have to understand that it's fantasy and not real. I mean, it's fantasy. Fantasy exists for a reason, right? Because it's fantasy.
Yeah.
But we all have to like wake up every morning and make breakfast and go to work or go to school or do the thing, or make our beds, or clean our house, or do all the things. You're not going grocery shopping in your heels.
You're not. And you also may wear a uniform to work. You may wear scrubs to work. You may wear business casual attire to work. You may wear sweats to work. I don't know. You may wear gym clothes because you're a personal trainer. Does your closet reflect that? Is the question I would ask people. And I think, again, we are incentivized to buy a preponderance of trendy items that even if they last based upon quality, they're not going to stand the test of time based upon our style.
Absolutely. And that's not to say that you can't dress for a certain occasion, right?
Mm-mm.
It's just be conscious of it.
I mean, Margot and I are connected on this because we had the same jumpsuit from Anthropology. Do you remember that?
I still have it.
I don't know where mine is. And so obviously we love style, we love fashion. You all often ask what we are wearing. So it's part of who we are, like just this practice of adornment and presentation is to our core. It makes us who we are. However, I think in big age, speaking of big age, we also recognize that the financial issues that I've put myself in because I've tried to have the thing. It's just not worth it, and I would never go back there again.
Right, and the thing, so, like, there's also, well, this is also, like, a broader conversation around capitalism, and I would say, well, the thing isn't going to make you happy, obviously, but some things can make you happy, right? And I think for me, for example, like having certain pieces that remind me of something is very important, right? Yeah. And so I'm trying to be much more conscious of how I spend my money and where I spend my money and what I do with it. And so having fewer, I don't go shopping as much as I used to. So having fewer pieces that I use more actually is feeling more in line with me right now in my life. And when I want to try something new, I do it on consignment thrifting or on a rental service.
Well, I was actually just about to say that. I think having less makes you appreciate what you do have more. I mean, it's just a fact, you know. I have been very conscientious about making a wish list, and also this year for the first time, a no-buy list. The things I have more than enough of, I don't need any more makeup. I don't need any new lipstick, right? If I run out of something, I will replace it, but I don't need it. I don't need any new notebooks and journals. I did break that, but it was by mistake. Long story. Doesn't matter.
And I ruined it by putting, I didn't mean to. I just put a hot cup of coffee on it.
So, you know, I'm making that list and kind of working my way through it, especially if it's a luxury item, makes me feel so good. Shopping seasonally makes me feel so good, right? There was a time when I would just get off the metro and just go to Pentagon City Mall. Same. And just shop because I was bored. Mm. Just because I got paid and I was bored and I didn't know anything else to do but to go to the mall. Now, I make a list for the season. I declutter first. I'm actually taking some things to an online luxury consigner this week, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, right? I am trying to, if I am buying something new, it's the same money that I'm just putting back into my wardrobe because I am consistently trying to upcycle, is that the word, mm-hmm. right? And then buy things that are also consigned and or just wearing what I have. And that makes me, I think, I would like to hope, a bit different from other people who are considered to be influencers online. It doesn't mean I don't love to have the thing, but I've spoken before with you, Margot, here and offline, that I know it's just that the thing doesn't make me happy anymore.
Right. And that's not to say that everything you are buying, certainly not everything I'm buying, is luxury no. either. But, okay, and there's also this other thing that I have gotten confused by, but you helped me understand, is that slow fashion. So there are some brands that are slow fashion. Mm-hmm. That, like, that's their marketing shtick, right? That they're made of recycled materials, yeah. that they're produced in the United States. And I think a lot of people, rightly or wrongly, feel like maybe that's not their style.
Yeah.
Or they're too expensive. The price point is too high.
Yeah. Or they think that because these brands are slower fashion, like Everlane comes to mind, for example.
Or Reformation.
Or Reformation might be one. Reformation has a very high price point.
Yes. I mean, that's what I was going to say.
Everlane is more affordable, in my opinion. It doesn't have the same high price point, but the items are very much wardrobe essentials. They're very basic. And so I think people think either it's too expensive or that's not stylish enough for me. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. And what I would say to that is that anything can be transformed with the right accessories. And those are things that you can literally have forever, no matter your shape, your size, or your age. A great pair of earrings, a great belt, a great pair of shoes. Those are things that are going to last that can transform a look.
Right. And we all, I mean, I guess not all, but I would say many of us need a really good pair of jeans, mm-hmm. a really good white t-shirt, a really good button up,
yeah.
and a really good blazer. Like, or have some things in your wardrobe that are your basics, your go-to. Those are the things, in my mind, that you should be spending money on.
Amen. And if you don't have those things, then I would question how and why you were spending your money other places. Because I think this kind of going out multiple times a week, I'm just kind of thinking about the fast fashion avatar that they have created. You are the Kylie Jenner. You are the Jordan Woods.
I thought we weren't talking about them on the show.
I mean, at all, because that is not who we are, right? But that is who the image that's put in front of us, right? You live in Southern California, you're in perfect weather, you outline your lips, you know what I mean? Like, you have long flowing hair and you are just the most stylish person ever sitting in the back of a limo with a bottle
on
of
a Wednesday,
Veuve Clicquot.
Yeah.
The right, fuck? Like,
so actually, yes. That's not real. But also, someone we know in common, actually, whenever I see her photos, I have never seen her wear the same thing.
Mm.
And everything matches. And it all fits so perfectly. And it's so interesting to me because it's clearly very well thought out.
Yeah.
You have to be incredibly organized.
To create this kind of online persona.
It just seems really burdensome.
Well, I mean, if that is part of your career, like certain content creators,
well, yeah,
I get it.
I'm not talking about that. Yes. If that's your career and you're creating new looks and you're in fashion or beauty or style, I think that's one conversation. I think I'm speaking more to the younger women or people who identify as women who listen and watch our podcast, who feel like every time they go out, either like for a work event or for social engagements with their friends, that they have to look a certain way or show up in a new outfit.
I was definitely there. I was definitely there. And I was there really before social media was as prominent as it is. And so I'm so grateful because I think that I would have definitely plummeted. I would have, social media would have made it 10 times
but
worse had
maybe,
I not kind of started to reshape and
but
reframe.
But I feel like you have really taught us to wear our clothes.
I'm trying because I understand the impulse. And again, I have seen the rise of some of these brands and what they have done to not just the environment, what they're doing to the environment, but also people's like psyches. It is not healthy to believe that unless you're wearing certain things, you are not beautiful. Or in the case of a family member, you can't show up to a great opportunity because your hair isn't done, your nails aren't done, and you don't have a new outfit. That is coming from a very specific place. And I'm not saying people didn't have bodily insecurities or,
like,
you know,
body dysmorphia isn't new.
It's not new, but we're seeing a particular brand of it that is related to this conflation or this kind of symbiosis between social media and between fast fashion. And those two things are inextricably linked.
So what's the advice? Because I think the takeaway is important, right? I'm wearing your clothes. Sure, wear your clothes. But like, what else would you say?
Yeah, because there are people who are mannequin shoppers, or in this case, virtual shoppers, because so few of us go in the store anymore, right? And so for them, the advice of wear your clothes doesn't really land because they're what I would call the blank slate pillar, right? They have a hard time defining what looks good on them.
The blank slate pillar.
You're really dropping
all the bombs today.
Thank you. You know, I mean, Miss Lainey, your mom may have edited my ebook, How to Declutter Your Wardrobe and Curate a Style That You Love. It will be linked. And blank slate was one of the pillars I talk about there. And so for that those people saying wear what you have, they're like, well, I don't have anything that I love and I don't know what to buy.
And I don't have anything that is of good quality.
Exactly. And so my advice would be to spend some time slowing down the process. Also, unsubscribe from email lists, not Justice, Not Politics and Fashion, but other email lists that are hitting your inbox multiple times a day. It's for a reason. They have these triggers, Margot, that if you open one, they send more.
Yep.
These marketing campaigns are incredibly sophisticated.
Yeah. I was also going to say, is that be aware of how constantly you're being marketed shit.
Mm-hmm.
You go on your email, sure, but like even if you go on any social media platform, every other thing is an ad for clothing, vitamins, some service, right? You're being marketed stuff to consume.
So just slow down a bit, right? I happen to think that as humans with functioning brains, we have the ability to discriminate. So just because we're marketed something does not mean we have to buy it. So I'm not saying that the consumer is completely kind of at the victim of the corporation or the marketplace. But what I am saying is that in order to not be a victim, you've got to slow down.
I would also say make personal commitments to yourself. So one of the things that I told myself was that if I'm going to order something online, I have to make a commitment to return it if it doesn't fit or it's not right.
Yes. Yes. I mean, think about that. How many of us have things at home that we just have not returned?
Right. So if you're going to buy it, you need to take responsibility for returning it.
And I would say if you're going to buy it, you need to have responsibility for either returning it or wearing it. Mm-hmm. Because hoarding things in our closets for occasions that have yet to come, it's time out for that, right? I got clothes for the bar mitzvah, and I don't know nobody that's Jewish. I got clothes. I'm saying hypothetically.
Oh. I was like, you have a bat mitzvah coming up.
I actually do. I got clothes for the wedding and none of my friends are engaged, right? I have clothes for the date night and I don't have a partner. So it's like, if you're not going to wear the thing, then don't buy the thing. If your lifestyle's not conducive to the thing, don't buy the thing.
Correct. And if there are certain things that you want to celebrate, like maybe you have an anniversary, a job, a new job, a trip, buy one thing.
Buy one thing. If you're going out of the country, buy one thing. Use your disposable income when you get there, not before you get there. I think about that all the time.
I think about that too.
I don't want to spend all my money before I get on the trip.
Yeah, no. And one of the things that's so amazing about going to a different place is, you know, you always make fun of me, but like, I love going to supermarkets in different places because it's so interesting to see, I mean, different states even, but of like course. Different countries, like, what does their yogurt look like? I mean, maybe people are not going to resonate with this.
Oh, I love yogurt.
Right. But like, how do people go food shopping? Do they shop for the week? Do they shop for the day? Do they shop for a few days? Right. Do they use a credit card? Do they use cash? I don't know. All of those things are really interesting to me, like with clothing shopping.
Exactly. And also, I think the experience, right? We're valuing the thing and not the experience when we spend all of our money before we even get there on how we're going to look or not. And I also think that finding inspiration is very important. That can also help us slow down a bit.
Yeah. And not everyone can wear everything.
Not everyone can wear everything. And part of this is actually a structural issue about us not valuing all bodies. Mm. But I also think that we are up in the middle of the night, again, talking about marketing. We're opening emails. We are on social media. We're afraid that we're going to miss the big sale. The item is on sale. So-and-so had the thing. They look so good in the thing. I've got to buy it now. And this exigency, y'all, is fake. It does not exist.
And by the way, just a tip. If you miss the sale and you call the company and you're like, I missed the sale, they'll give you the sale.
And also, sometimes. Y'all.
Or wait for the next sale.
It's corporate marketing. Things are always on sale. I mean, this is part of what people criticize Macy's business model about now. They are always having a sale. Most places are having some form of sale, even if it's just a 10% off to capture your email address. You can find a discount code somewhere on the internet. You've missed nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you do miss it, guess what? There are online consignment retailers where you're probably going to be able to find it. eBay has everything.
Or your sale's going to come back. So there have been many times where I've followed a good. Mm-hmm. And it's gone on sale. I didn't buy it. Then I felt bad. And then I waited till it goes on sale again.
Exactly. So it goes back to slowing down. I would say slow down. Find your inspiration. And do not consume for a fantasy lifestyle would be my biggest tips, I think.
And wear your clothes.
And just wear your clothes.
And know where you're wearing clothes, right? And like having stuff that you love that lasts is also really fulfilling.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think about that because it makes me feel good. Oh, taking care of your pieces is another big thing. I have a friend, and I'm not saying we could all do this at all, but one of my best friends, Dion, her family is from Guyana, and she grew up without a washing machine or a dryer. And this was, y'all, as recently as the early 2000s. I mean, her mother was still washing everything by hand and hanging it on a line to dry. And I remember the moment that stuck out to me because we were in a program called MAPS, the Minority Achievement Program or something like that. We had these like thick burgundy shirts. Mine had been washed and dried. Hers had been hand washed and hung to dry. It looked like we had bought them in two different decades. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, I didn't even know what hand washing something could do until that point.
Yeah, and my mom, Miss Laney, would say, buy linen wash. So there's different washes that you can buy for different pieces.
Okay.
And not drying stuff. So you, I mean, like the hang drying and the washing by hand is one, but then there are ways of using the cycle in your washer on gentle and then air drying it. I do that a lot.
Uh-huh. And these are things, y'all, that don't have to include having a hefty dry cleaning bill.
Mm-mm.
It's just, again, slowing down and having some intention. And I think when we have things in our wardrobe that cost a bit more, it also makes us value them more naturally. And so, again, back to Margot's point, we're not saying you have to have on a $1,000 suit. But what we are saying is that if you invest a little bit more and take care of things, they're going to last longer.
Absolutely.
So we've given what we hope will be some tips and advice. If you all have more to say, please sound off in the comments. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. And if you have suggestions for new brands, women-owned brands, BIPOC-owned brands, brands that have high-quality things at maybe a lower price point or not a super high price point, please share with us because we would love to share with everyone.
Yeah. And we are not experts on fast fashion by any means or their role in the environment or the harms to the environment. So if you have something to share on that point, we would love to hear it as well. Again, there are lots of resources that I know we can link in the show notes. So in the meantime, thank you all for listening and we will see you next time.
Thank you guys.